It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
May, shotgun, two receivers each side, one back, Gibson. Here's the snap to May. He's in trouble. He's sacked back at the 30-yard line. Will Anderson Jr., hat trick.
Is that the hat trick?
Yes, it is. Three on the day for Will.
I love that on the, because on the TV broadcast you hear, I just wanted to make sure that with Andre Ware, Mark Vandermeer on the, you know, Texans broadcast, that you could also hear Will Anderson yelling, three, that's three.
Three fingers up.
Third sack, yeah. Career high for Will Anderson on the day. Man, what an extravagant showing. And you could tell he really wanted it, really needed it. Mm-hmm. Let's get into who hooped on a Texans victory reaction Monday. Here in the loop, and I mean, why not start with the man who had a fantastic, incredible showing when it comes down to it. Will Anderson Jr. Got home in a way that this defensive line had not felt like they had got, especially the edges had not gotten home quite. They'd applied pressure, but he got home in a big way. Three of them things, hitting three times Drake May and putting him on the ground.
I actually thought of Andy Kalou on that third sack.
I did as well. I texted you.
Yeah.
You didn't respond back. But I did text you.
Did you text me?
Mm-hmm. Unless y'all didn't block. Did y'all block my number?
Or maybe it's your...
Both you and Fig blocked my number. I done already gotten blocked.
I feel like
2 months in.
Hey, I feel like you gave out my number for some reason. I keep getting these political text messages.
What me?
Saying, hey, Reginald.
What me?
Hey, did you decide who you voting for?
When me?
I'm like, why y'all keep calling me Reginald, man?
Yeah.
When me?
Yeah.
Why well, I ain't block you, man?
I didn't get that text.
Okay.
I think it's your stupid iPhone. Anyway.
I don't have an iPhone.
I know. Y'all on the same
what are you
team.
Talking about?
Oh, well, then maybe I just missed it. Anyway, are you? Did you press send?
Are you? Really? You're going to make this about? I messed up. Okay.
Some blame.
All right. Okay. You're just laughing out. I see it.
Okay. So, Andy Kalou. They come in bunches.
Correct.
They come in bunches.
Yeah.
It's not. Well, now, we did acknowledge they're getting a lot of pressure.
Yes.
Just not a lot of sacks. But they did. They sure did come in bunches. He absolutely hooped. I'm going to give a hoo hoop to.
Wait. We can't just skip by that. We got to make sure that we fully luxuriate in what the Will Anderson Jr. situation was. And of course, as I say that, I lost the statistic that I wanted to give,
give it.
In that moment.
Mm-hmm.
But Will Anderson Jr., only player in the NFL this season to record at least five tackles, three sacks, four TFLs, and one pass defense in a game.
Yeah. And that was a courtesy of our guy, B. Scott, right?
Yeah. And I.
That uncovered that. And just, you know, absolutely ridiculous numbers for him in this game. And if you look at the individual stats, they certainly play that out as well, bear that out as well. Just what if they unlock it? Like I said during passing thoughts, what if he and Danielle Hunter just
added a sack himself?
Who added a sack?
In fact, that was the strip sack that looked like the biggest play of the game to our eyes.
What if this is the game that kind of unlocks the secret? They've reached that comfort level. They're comfortable with how they're playing. They're on the they're in their game. They're comfortable. This could be just incredible. And then as an add-on to that, what if part of unlocking it is more turnovers?
I don't know if it fully unlocked it necessarily, right? I do understand and appreciate what you're doing there.
Mm-hmm.
But you listen to Will Anderson Jr. tell it, and he's like, the goal has just been like carry water, chop wood, right?
Yeah.
And Danielle Hunter has been a big thing in that regard. I might circle back around and play that audio. But he's basically just talked about the idea that, hey, just keep doing it and the results will come in the same way that ND talked about, right?
Mm-hmm.
They just keep being around the quarterback and then these things come in bunches. I think that's been the main thing for them. And maybe this continues to like solidify it for Will in particular.
Yeah.
Obviously, Danielle is a veteran. Will is a little bit newer in this. That, hey, you keep doing the same thing. You keep operating in that way. And then when you come back on the other end, those results will show up. So maybe that'll just allow them to keep staying in that space. But I don't know that it's going to be like, hey, this has now shifted the way that this thing goes.
Well, and then there's that, you know, that whole thing that sort of takes you by surprise. You know, don't look now, but Will Anderson is only two sacks behind the league lead, which was Aiden Hutchinson, and he's not going to be playing for a while. So he's only two sacks behind.
Defensive player of the year is what you're saying?
Yeah. He's
all right, Will Anderson, defensive player of the year. Let's do it.
Hold on. Only two sacks behind the league lead in sacks and tied for the league lead in tackles for loss.
Okay, so MVP then. All right, Will Anderson Jr., Will MVP. Let's do it.
Defensive MVP. All right, so who hooped? D'Angelo Ross, man.
Oh, wow. This is where you're going?
Well, the obvious ones we're going to get to. This is a not-so-obvious one. Second highest PFF grade of anybody in the Texans secondary.
Okay.
Behind Derek Stingley. Played every snap. The only defensive player that played every snap. We were worried. We got to give it to him.
I was.
We got to give it to him. We were worried.
I was worried. I don't know if I was going to go to the degree of hooped.
You didn't. How many times did they call his name?
They didn't.
They didn't. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Yeah, it's a good
thing. That's a good thing. Your cornerback opposite Derek Stingley, who was going to be attacked, by the way, by a quarterback that was playing pretty dang well, considering they were losing by 20.
Sure, on that curve. I think that, yeah, you were probably looking at more of those slot. I think they were looking more towards the slot for their looks.
Nevertheless.
But okay, fair enough.
And the other part of it is, like, I still think they need to go make a move and bolster their secondary. If you're going to be a contending team for the Super Bowl, you got to, you know, you got to check all the boxes. But you got to give it to him.
You went person number two. You went D'Angelo Ross. Okay, yeah. Fair enough. Touche.
Yeah. Because I was know, like, there's going to be some obvious ones.
All right.
Yeah.
One of the obvious ones, I guess, in the course of this game, but maybe not in the course of like the way that we talked about this team. Mm-hmm. Mario Edwards Jr. was everywhere. And when I say everywhere, I do indeed mean
everywhere.
Like offensive line wise, mm-hmm. He was one of those guys that made it evident. Oh, that's papier mâché.
Yeah.
Papier mâché offensive line. He was knifing through that thing, mm-hmm. like run stopping, getting in there. Rallying to the football. Mario Edwards looked incredible in this game.
And it's going to be very interesting to see how they play out the rotation on the interior defensive line.
Yep, because Danico Autry has now served fully his suspension, rather, mm-hmm. so he should be eligible to return from what's happening
Not
here.
Not like Fadakasi's been a chump.
Nope.
But you got to play Mario. Like D'Amico Ryan's in that meeting with his coaches, which I believe happens on Mondays.
I imagine so.
Yeah, you know, he's going to be in that meeting saying, all right, how are we going to keep Mario in the rotation? Rio, how are we going to keep him around? Because he's making plays.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree. I think it's technically your turn, but I'll take another spot. You took a sip. I want to give a shout out to Bobby Slowick.
Yeah.
I think Bobby Slowick hooped. I think that they spread the ball out pretty well. But then also, I think we mentioned it a few times. It feels like when it comes to like the run blocking of this, they blocked in a way that was mm-hmm. that was advantageous. It felt like they utilized and implemented some mixtures of kind of gap scheme stuff, mm-hmm. some trap stuff that it feels like has worked very well. And I think I mentioned to this to you maybe off air last week that I was mm-hmm. like, huh, I kind of like what's happening here with some of the trap concepts inside. But it seems like they utilize all those things to a very good degree. Again, I understand people will continue to put up that it's not a great team you're going up against. But we had seen some of the kind of fundamental mm-hmm. ways that they were going about things that felt like they weren't super conducive to success.
Yeah.
They found that success in this one. And so as much as Bobby's name has come up in a negative connotation, I want to make sure that it comes up in a positive.
No, and it absolutely should. We talked about Bobby making it work. And in fact, one of the obvious ones, actually two of the obvious ones that I was going to mention, ties directly in with Bobby Slowick, and that's Steph and Tank Dell. I mean, those two guys did.
I thought you were going to say Laramie Tunsil, who, I mean, I know that he ended up on the sideline with the ankle injury where he got rolled up, and I know that he probably was not done any benefits by the broadcast crew saying that he was relaxing on the sideline. But
he's got house shoes on.
Somebody was like, did this offensive line get better when Laramie Tunsil went out? And I was like, he wasn't penalized at all that game. No. Like, the offensive line did a pretty good job keeping all this stuff clean also for the most part.
But Steph and Tank, man, Stephon Diggs and Tank Dell, it ties in with Bobby, getting them more involved, making them not miss, you know, Nico Collins as much. They didn't. They had two very, very good games. 13 catches combined, I believe. Something like that.
13 catches combined. Yeah. That's correct. Good memory.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those tough catches. And then it really seemed like they worked the middle of the field pretty extensively. Both of those guys, yeah. Stephon and Tank.
And not always easy catches.
Agreed.
Like, they were going to the ground on some of these. And they were making snagging the ball in traffic in some of these. So, yeah, you got to give it to Stephon Diggs and Tank Dell.
I just want to make sure to bring up Danielle Hunter one more time. And I think the reason why I put him here was not just the fact that he got a sack, not just the fact that he got what was probably the biggest play when you needed to kind of shift the way this thing was going, make sure that you put New England at a distance instead of the 14-7 score that they were mm-hmm. at, is that Will Anderson Jr., and I actually do want to go to the audio here now, cut one here from Will Anderson Jr. on what having Danielle Hunter opposite him, what mm-hmm. it means to him, because I doubt for me this was kind of the biggest thing. Oh, my bad. Did you got it?
Man, Danilo is such a blessing to have on this team and having this D-line group, man. He's taught me so much, and every time I see him, I give him a big hug. Like, I don't have any brothers, so, like, all of these guys that have been in this group, like, I look at them as my big brothers, and I get on their nerves, and I say, Danilo, bro, I thank you so much because I've learned so much from him, and he just kept me composed. He kept me grounded this last 2 weeks. Like, bro, it's coming. It's coming. Just keep chopping. Like, keep getting better, man. And he kept me on edge. Like, hey, don't get lax. When you get lax, you start getting sacks a little bit. Your body starts to wind down a little bit. Keep going. Keep going. And he helped me out a lot today.
First of all, Will Anderson is so good in any context.
You hear the excitement just
interviewing, just as a dude, he just seems like a great dude. Of course, as a player, and I'm wondering if there's any guy I see that every time I see him, I just hug him, like Will Anderson hugs Danielle Hunter every time. You absolutely need to go back and give a lot of that to Danielle Hunter, no question.
I do feel like Jalen Petrie was hitting hard. Jalen Petrie was hitting real hard in this game.
He was hitting very, very hard. Had his moments, man. I mean, definitely had his moments. Hooped.
We're getting to had a nice game territory.
So let me talk about hoop then, because it's practically criminal that we haven't mentioned Joe Mixon yet. Practically criminal because Joe Mixon probably hooped better than anybody out there. If you're talking about just the whole, you know, again, I think I've used this word three times in this segment, the context of what you had to do, yesterday. Joe Mixon got on the field and just flat out hooped.
Yeah, man,
flat out.
The running game just looked different. And the thing that hit me, as there's a lot of different things that could have hit an individual watching the game, was just, he's so fast. Once he makes the decision,
the burst that I need
to hit this hole, he's gone, right? Yeah. And then also the ways in which once he gets into the open field, and it felt like he was getting his knees up real high. I don't know if that means anything, but it was just fun to watch because I think that's really the thing for me is that watching Joe Mixon is inherently fun. There's something about football. I know that we've gone to throwing the football a whole bunch, but there's something that you cannot replicate in seeing a dude just torch somebody on the ground.
Yes.
And Joe Mixon has that quality in spades.
That was defensive really backs he was running away from, man.
Yeah.
I mean,
not
only did he get shot through a cannon, like Mike Vandermeer said, I like that cut. I like that play-by-play. But once he got into space, it was like, I'm going to go ahead and stretch it a little bit here. And, of course, they had the angle and knocked him out. But that was enormous. And the other ones that I thought hooped, I was giving Neville Hewitt some love here just because he's the tackling machine and all that stuff, and damn near led the team in tackles even though he came in late. But I'm going to stretch it to that middle linebacker position because Al-Shaair was doing his thing as well. He got hurt. Neville Hewitt came in and flat out made, I think, back-to-back plays.
Yeah.
Had the tackle. And ended up with 8 tackles despite playing. I don't have the snap counts in front of me, but he didn't have a lot of snap counts. And so to be able to go deep at middle linebacker like that with a guy that we really just consider a special teams guy at this point, he came in and played.
59% of the snaps for him, 39 snaps, Neville Hewitt. And, yeah, you mentioned he came in, he played. Now, I wonder how much of that was like, once it was, I guess, for lack of a better term, garbage time.
Yeah.
But the idea that he stepped in, and I guess he was benefited from the concept of not being a super high-throwing football game where you needed to do a lot of coverage. You could kind of be more of a hitter, a tackler, and that definitely fits Neville Hewitt's his strengths and his capabilities. But he did that to a high degree, especially in Aziz's stead when he was dealing with the knee. I guess that's something that I'm super looking forward to once D'Amico speaks to the assembled media later today. So I want to watch that. But no, a very good game in the course of this. I don't want to say hooped in the course of this, but I just shout out to Blake Fisher again coming in and not having a significant drop-off. This time on left tackle when Laremy Tunsil goes out. I feel good about him, man. Mm-hmm. I think we're getting to a place where that swing tackle, you feel good about him, and in the future when he eventually is going to take over one of these tackle roles, I am excited to see what that ultimately looks like.
Well, especially when you consider, what his first real action, so to speak, at tackle looked like, and then what it looked like yesterday, like the amount of advancement that Blake Fisher has had Because he didn't look good in his first outing when he had to step in at tackle.
No, he did not.
And now, you know, you don't really notice it. So, absolutely, I agree with you.
Yeah. Shout out to the 281 who said Jalen got beat several times. Yes, he did. Especially,
That's what I'm saying, like, hoops.
He got caught flat-footed in, like, cover zero,
but
which
he made
was
some
tough.
Tackles.
But the big thing that I just wanted to highlight the fact that he was hitting hard.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure that, because it was something that was visceral for me. There's some things that in that segment I kind of try and hearken back to what were those visceral moments, and hearing the pop of pads when Jalen was hitting some of those times did it for me. All right, that's some of who hooped here in the Loop Sports Radio 610 after a 41-21 victory on the road in New England, the first of the sort for the Texans in franchise history. Coming up next, let's get into our lunchtime confessions, and it seems like my apparel is part of this as well.
Yeah, I'll get to that. It's been gnawing at me all morning long.
Gnawing? Okay.
Gnawing at me.
All right, yeah. We'll do that next.